Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the wonderful Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Oh, not a lot. Just trying to stay cool with the weather. It's a little warm and humid here. Almost 100 if you count the heat index. And it's definitely one of those days you got to make sure you drink lots of water. And you really should drink water anyway. That's going to be my health tip of the day. You know, water should probably be, I would say, about 90 to 95% of what you drink. You really shouldn't drink too much other than that. You know, like soda and other stuff, it's not really, you know, needed or necessary. So water should probably take about 90 to 95% of what you actually drink throughout the day. But, you know, days like today, got to make sure you drink lots of water. And I especially got to when I get my, you know, my workouts in this heat. It could sweat quite a bit in that. So I'm really trying to stay cool. Not you know, things are going all right. Don't have the, you know, migraine that I had yesterday after I got off work, which is a good thing. So now I can do the show. Didn't have a bunch of yelling and screaming juveniles in gym today that were screaming for no reason. They were in the gym today, but just not screaming for no reason. So that was good too. Anyway, just want to let listeners know. I mentioned it on Tuesday. I'll mention it again. Since January 2012, I finally broke my 100-pound barrier. I've lost 100 pounds since 2012. And I've lost about 70 of those using Beachbody programs and supplements. And I would love to talk to you about the program, love to talk to you about the supplements. 70 of the 100 pounds, like I said, have been lost thanks to Beachbody supplements and programs. And these are the same type of programs that Eddie Lacy did to get in the best shape of his life for the 2016 season. And you can do it too. And I'd love to let you know how. You know, sign up for Beachbody On Demand or anything like that. So just shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com. That's coachevan66@gmail.com. Shoot me an email and let me know what you want to do. Let me know what your goals are, and I will help you find the program that's going to help you meet those goals. coachevan66@gmail.com. So now throw it back to you, Troy. How are things going out in Western PA?
Well, like you, it's hotter than, you know, thick pea soup out here. And it's the heat and the humidity. And it really makes for an irritable day when you're outside. I mean, it's just that's how the weather is. And I know you're going through it, too. I watch the Weather Channel all the time. Kind of a weather junkie. I just enjoy watching the Weather Channel and seeing what the weather's like across the country. And it's bad in a lot of places in the United States. So I know a lot of our listeners today are nodding their heads. Yes, we understand what it's like where you're at. But this is just that uncomfortable stuff, Evan. It's just you walk outside and your skin just all of a sudden is just hot and sticky. And it's just not fun. Just not fun. But we got a great show tonight. As I put in the preview of the show, not even one NFL game, not even a preseason game has been played yet. There's about 6 months to the Super Bowl, a long time till the end of the season. But they've already power ranked the teams. They've already told us who the best teams in the NFL are. And I guess you can put together a list like that based off how teams finished last year, how they did in the offseason as far as free agent pickups, how they did in the draft, how they are injury-wise heading into training camp. But we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And we're going to talk a little bit about NFL news, talk a little bit about Packer training camp. And I know you want to talk about Packer training camp the day before, or actually it would have been last night, and then you had your migraine. So I guess we'll start there. Let's start with Packer training camp. The big news that Packer fans need to know about, where the Packers are right now, after the Hall of Fame game has been canceled. What's the big Packer news today, bud?
Yeah, first thing I want to mention that there is actually some preseason games that did take place today. So I won't really go into those, but I know the Saints and the Patriots played one another. And it was really strange seeing John Kuhn wearing a Saints jersey. Now, I'm not mad that John Kuhn's not a Packer anymore, but it was just weird. It was just weird seeing him in a Saints uniform. That was just weird to me. But anyways, a couple of things to talk about with the Packers. You know, they've been practicing all week. Ty Montgomery's off the PUP list, as is Jared Cook, Sam Barrington as well. So they're off the PUP list. Jordy Nelson is still on the PUP list. So a couple – and Packer fans, I'm sure, aren't happy to see this, but Jeff Janis has not been taking that next step as of yet as a Packer right now. He's been struggling at times in training camp, and he's going to have a fight for him to make that roster spot. Now, most people were assuming that, most people were assuming that it was going to be Jared Apodaca's fighting for his roster spot. But right now, it's looking like me might be Janis. Davis has done pretty well at times this camp. Jared Apodaca is starting to gain Rodgers' trust a little bit. He always seems to be open. He's always in the right spot at the right time. And Tom Montgomery, he just returned from his injury. And Davante Adams has looked pretty decent running routes so far in camp. So it's looking like it could be Jeff Janis' spot, roster spot that he might lose. So he has a lot of work to do, a lot of work cut out for him, and he had his opportunity with Todd Montgomery on the PUP list to really stand out, and he just hasn't stood out like he should. And, it's on him to take that next step, and like I said, he just hasn't left. So it'll be interesting to see what he does from here, especially when they play the Browns tomorrow. I'm sure Janis is going to get a lot of action. But, he's taking steps forward, but his weakness is still that route one. The attention to detail, the stuff that I talked about over and over again last season that he still needs to work on. And we'll see if that's something he could take to the field when they play Cleveland tomorrow night at Lambeau Field. So that's really all I wanted to touch on in regards to Packer news right now with Cook and Montgomery and Sam Barrington back from the PUP list. No Jordy Nelson yet, but Jeff Janis might be in fight for his life right now. So what are your thoughts on that? Jeff Janis goes from favorites all season long last year. All I would see on Twitter, every Packer game before, during, and after, Janis. And it's looking like now he may be on that roster bubble if the Packers decide to, stick with Apodaca. And there's another guy named Geronimo Allison, who I was a huge fan of about coming out of Illinois. He's been making some steps too, and he's looking like he might take that step onto the practice squad. So what are your thoughts?
No, I like Jeff Janis, and I'll start that way. I like Jeff Janis. I think he's a guy that can add some value to the roster. But, Evan, you mentioned all these people that jumped on the Jeff Janis bandwagon. And I don't want to say I was one. I don't want to just flatly throw in and say I'm one of them, but I guess I could. This is kind of what I expected. I mean, he was thrown into a situation last year, but there's only so much that Jeff Janis could do. Now, there was a reason that it took injuries for him to get on the field. It wasn't last year, Evan, that he worked his way into the position that he got into. And you know what? He took advantage of the opportunities when he was on. But if you take a deep breath and realistically look at why Janis even played last year, it was due to injury. Had those injuries not come up, Janis doesn't get in the field and do those things. And again, granted, I'm not taking away what he did. But I kind of expected this, Evan. This is a guy that has to get better all around. And he's not doing it. There's guys that, and I'm not saying he's not working hard. Don't by any means. So don't all of a sudden say, oh, you're a Jeff Janis hater, Troy. No, I'm not. I'm being real. That Jeff Janis has some potential. He's just not at that level yet. And so I like Jeff Janis. I really do. But at the end of the day, I also like the Green Bay Packers winning Super Bowls. And so if Jeff Janis is one of those guys on the bubble because there's a guy that gets it more than Jeff Janis, so be it. You know, I guess as a fan, I'm a realistic fan. And kudos to what Jeff Janis did for the Packers last year when he was thrown into a role. But he wasn't thrown into a full role. And I hope I made my point here, Evan, that the only reason he got to where he was is because of injury and not because he worked his way into that position. So I kind of expected a battle in training camp. And that's why I just laughed. I bit my tongue, bit my lip, didn't jump on any bandwagon, didn't fire back anything. It's just, that's the way fans are, Evan. Nothing good happens, but they don't look at the big picture. So I kind of expected the battle in training camp. I thought actually Janis would take a step up. I thought what he did last year would give him that boost of confidence to be like, man, I really got to work hard this offseason. I really got some opportunities. I got a lot to work on. And if he did, it's not translating over early in camp. And, you know, Evan, it's always a wide receiver battle in Green Bay. I've said it, you've said it, that the Packers produce wide receivers. And to be a Packer wide receiver, you have to be an all-around player. And what I mean by all-around players, you got to learn how to block. You got to learn how to run routes. You got to have good hands. And the speed helps. But when you sit down and actually evaluate those things with Jeff Janis, there's a lot of deficiencies. So he's got a lot to do to make this team. And we'll see how that battle goes. So that's all I got to add about Jeff Janis.
Yeah, and it's still a long way to go in camp. I'm not saying that he needs to go or whatever. I like Janis. I think he brings a lot of potential to the team. He's a speed demon. But the thing is, if you can't run good routes at the NFL level, there's nowhere no need for you, really. And that's the NFL. It's, and especially in the Packers offense, it's all about running precise routes and knowing where Aaron Rodgers expects you to be. And that's the big thing he's working on right now. So we'll see what he does moving forward. But moving on, preseason power rankings are out for NFL.com on August 9th. Elliot Harrison came out with his power rankings. And I'm going to go through them really quick. So you have Carolina number one, Arizona number two, Green Bay number three, they're up one spot. Panthers and Cardinals stay the same. Broncos number four, Patriots number five, Seahawks number six, Steelers number seven, Vikings number eight, Chiefs number nine, Raiders 10, Bengals 11, Washington 12, Houston 13, Buffalo 14, the Jets are 15th, the Giants are 16th, Jaguars 17th, Cowboys are 18th, Colts are 19th, Buccaneers are 20th, Falcons are 21, Dolphins 22, Ravens 23, Lions 24, Rams 25, Eagles 26, Bears 27, Saints 28, Chargers 29, Titans 30, 49ers 31, and the Browns 32. I almost forgot about the Browns. That would have been, well, I guess like most people forgetting about the Browns. But I'm looking at this top 10, Troy. And they got the Broncos number four. This is a Bronco team that might have Mark Sanchez starting a quarterback. I don't care how good your defense is. I don't see a Mark Sanchez-led team doing too much damage. You have a Patriots five who's going to be without Brady for four games. That, I think, is a little high. I think the Seahawks should be probably four. I think the Vikings should be number five. I think the Steelers should be number six, and I think the the Broncos and the Patriots should be down a little bit. I think the Patriots should probably be barely top 10 right now because there's a lot of question marks on what's going to look like first four games and then how's Brady going to be when he comes back. I know he's Tom Brady, but, you know, not playing football for 4 weeks, he can be a little rusty. And until Sanchez shows that he, you know, or whoever the quarterback is, shows that they can be consistent at that quarterback position and not turn the ball over, I don't think the Broncos should be top five. I think they should be closer to number 10. So what do you think of that? Do you think – I think the Packers are fine at number three. I know most Packer fans probably want them at number one, and they're probably pissed off at their number three. How dare you put them behind Carolina and the Cardinals? But I think the Cardinals should be number one, personally, especially after getting Chandler Jones. And then the Panthers, I would be okay with them at number two. They did take a couple of hits on their defense, and their running game is questionable. But they do get Kelvin Benjamin back at number one. He didn't play at all last year due to an ACL injury. But what are your thoughts looking at this top 10? Does somebody stand out to you for being too high or too low?
Yeah, there's a couple, but it's when we get down a little bit lower. I mean, I'm not going to argue with Panthers and Cardinals at one and two. Packer fans, be grateful they're at number three. I mean, honestly, that's probably where they should fall in. But it's always, you know, you got to beat the team, the good teams, to be on the top of the mountain. And so, you know, the Packers literally blew the overtime game to the Cardinals. And when you look at that Cardinals team, it's a solid team. And I think the Cardinals deserve, you know, that 1-2. I can see why the Panthers are number one. So I'm not going to argue. Tick and tap right there. 1-2. Packers at three. I'm fine with that. I agree with you. Broncos number four. Now, that's crazy talk. Patriots number five. That's crazy talk. Seahawks, I think you can move them up. I think you can move the Steelers up. And I'm reading what he put in here. And all he talked about was Le'Veon Bell, and that's why they're number seven. Dropped them four spots. That's ridiculous. I know their defense is suspect. The cornerback play isn't great. Safety play isn't that great. They've got a good front four. I really like it. And I like some of their linebackers. Their outside linebacker play is pretty good. I think the Steelers should be higher than seven. I don't think you drop them just because of Bell's suspension, especially in that offense. Yes, he's a special player, but I think with Big Ben there and the receivers that you got with Antonio Brown, I think you can put D'Angelo Williams in there for four games and be just fine. He doesn't have to be. He talks about him being 33. He only has to do it for four games. Now, granted, Le'Veon Bell, but he's a running back. Not like Tom Brady missing four games. Timing that goes on, there's a lot of rust that has to come off. Honestly, having a running back 4 weeks off, it's probably going to be good for his legs. It'll allow him to have a 12-game season and just not have the wear and tear when he's actually – when they're in week 16, he's really in week 12. So it could actually play out to an advantage if Williams can do the things he did last year. So I think the Steelers are too low. I think they should be higher. I'd move the Vikings up. I'd even move the Chiefs up a little bit, Evan. I know it's an Alex Smith-led team, but they got a very good defense, and Alex Smith doesn't turn the ball over. They're a tough team to beat. Now, I'm not saying that they're a Super Bowl contender, but I like the Chiefs as far as a team that can go out and is going to give you a game week in and week out. You're not going to play Kansas City and expect, hey, we're going to go in and be able to win this game every time. They've got a very solid team. The team that does surprise me, Evan, there's actually two. I know the Raiders are on an uptick, and the Raiders have done a lot of good things. To put them in the top 10 right now, I need to see more. To me, it's a reach on the rank just because you're kind of ranking to potential. Now, do they have the potential to be up there? I think so. But at a preseason rating at number 10, that really surprised me to see the Raiders at number 10, and especially above the Bengals. And I know we talked on Monday about the Bengals, and people can say, well, they haven't won a playoff game. Well, that's fine. But if you're doing a preseason ranking as the best teams, the Bengals have consistently been a very good regular season team over the past few years. I don't think the Raiders are better than the Bengals. And the Redskins, all this hype about the Redskins, to put the Redskins at number 12, I think that's a reach too. Again, I think you're putting them there based on future potential. I don't think they could be, as he puts, this Redskins team could be damn good. Could be damn good. And so you're ranking them based on what you think is a future potential. I don't agree with number 12. Yeah, they could be good, but right now when these rankings come out, I don't think they're that good. I think there's a lot of teams that are better than the Redskins. So I disagree right there with the Raiders and the Redskins at 10 and 12. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I can kind of disagree with that, too. I look at the Raiders. I'm kind of okay with where the Raiders are. That I will say. I think the Raiders are ranked pretty well. But, yeah, I think the Redskins are probably a little high on the list, especially with Kirk Cousins. We don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to be the Kirk Cousins of last year. He you know, teams have been studying his game film all offseason. That's what teams do. And when you have these potential flash in the pan quarterbacks, you see it all the time in the NFL with these quarterbacks that have a great season or a great half a season, and people flip out about them. Rob Johnson comes to mind. Rob Johnson, former Buffalo Bill quarterback, beat out Doug Flutie for the starting job because he had the stronger arm. He was the more prototypical quarterback, but once he got in there, because he had a couple of strong games towards the tail end of 1 year. But once he got in there, after the team spent the entire offseason of working on him and scouting him, he was never the same guy. And you see that in football sometimes. Defenses catch up to the quarterback. And I don't know if Kirk Cousins is a flash-in-the-pan quarterback or if Kirk Cousins is going to be a more consistent quarterback. I don't know. It's just too early to tell. And I think it's gambling too much on what he's going to do to move him up that high. You're gambling too much. And if Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith go off, that's key. Ryan Kerrigan's got to stay healthy. Preston Smith, I believe, is a rookie. We don't know how he's going to do. It's way too early. I think the Jets might be a little bit too high. Why? Because Ryan Fitzpatrick's there. Again, he has one good year. I think he's had probably a total of two really good years in his career. And he's supposed to be 15. I'd put the Giants ahead of the Jets and the Redskins, to be honest. Because the Giants, you have a proven commodity of quarterback in Eli Manning. They signed a lot of weapons for their defense during the offseason. So that's number two on why. And they have a very good core intact. So, but, you know, power rankings this time of year is goofy anyways. They're really goofy because what happens for, let's say, the Jets? What if Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt now? Are we going to drop them down because of that? And outside of the Browns and the 49ers and the Titans, the Chargers could have a huge year. They got a really good quarterback in Phillip Rivers. They got a really good running, potentially good running back in Melvin Gordon if he's healthy. They could surprise people. They're in a weak division. I don't think you ever count out a Drew Brees-led team. They could surprise people. It's just crazy to even do power rankings this early on. I don't take too much stock into them because it's just too early. And besides, even in the regular season, I don't take power rankings too seriously because the NFL changes from week to week. 1 week you think the Seahawks are the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the next week they have a down week and another team has a strong win, and then it flip-flops. So it's just way too early. And power rankings in general, I think, are kind of pointless. Now, I will make one occasionally, but overall, I just think they're kind of pointless. So last thing I want to mention, this whole Joey Bosa situation, Troy, is just very, very frustrating because the Chargers, the Chargers are basically wanting some insurance in case Bosa become the bust. And to me, that's not really a high way to think of your number 3 draft pick overall. You invested a lot in Joey Bosa, and now you want security in case he doesn't become the worthy of the number three pick in the draft overall. To me, that's just not putting a lot of faith in your guy. I don't blame Bosa for and his camp for being angry, but at the end of the day, though, Bosa should come in to sign the contract. If they're close enough and guaranteed money, sign the contract and just prove the charges wrong. And then when your five-year contract is up, assuming they take your fifth year, then leave. Prove them wrong for doubting you, and then leave. That's what he needs to do. And the Chargers, they got to have a little bit more faith in their players. They really do. So what are your thoughts on this whole weird Joey Bosa situation?
That's just crazy talk. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all coming down to language in the contract. I mean, the CBA came out to try and prevent things like this. And where you get slotted, you know, there's X amount of dollars that get paid. And we haven't seen holdouts in a long time. And I was reading the article just as you brought it up. And I've been following it a little bit. It seems also like a lot of this talk is about that signing bonus. At the end of the day, Evan, I'm going to say this. I can understand where he's coming from. I understand where the Chargers are coming from. But when you're a rookie and you're a guy that can go in and make an impact in the NFL and make an impact on an average team right now that could win a few games. Well, like you said, you got a very good quarterback, got some offensive weapons. Why don't you just sign the contract? Because it's rookie slotted. This isn't the contract where you make your big dollars. So get your butt into training camp. Learn the system, and if you want to play with a chip on your shoulder, then do it. And if you're going to say, look, when my contract is up and done, I'm out of here, so be it. But make your money. And what I mean by making money, Evan, is not in this contract. Go out and be an all-pro. Be an all-pro player, so when your contract comes up, you're going to break the bank. You're not going to break the bank sitting on your couch drinking Gatorade and playing PlayStation or Xbox or whatever you play. He's only hurting himself right now. Because when I look at where this dispute is, to be honest, I understand the terms of it. But really it comes down and it's kind of childish. I understand there's big bucks involved in being released and a guarantee of this and a guarantee of fine. But at the end of the day, if you're a player and a brand new rookie player, you're not making your money on your rookie contract. So get in there, learn the system, play balls out, be great, and then go somewhere else and break the bank. So I think, honestly, from his standpoint, he needs to get into camp and he needs to play. That's my thought.
Yeah, and I got nothing else to add. Time's running out. You know, I don't have anything else to add, so I'm going to send it back your way and let our listeners go and enjoy the rest of their evening or enjoy the rest of their day, depending on when they're listening to this. So.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. Thanks for listening in. Make sure that you check out our Blog Talk radio station. You can get the link on our Twitter page, at Red Light Sports or at Evan With Sports. And you know what, Evan, I've been saying this. People that listen archive, I know maybe we go a little late so you can't listen live, but if you're a live listener, just give us a call. You know, if you're listening in, call the show, talk with Evan and I. But hope you enjoyed the show tonight, everyone. For Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Have a good night, everyone.